Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right, Rich Casanova here, your host for today's episode of Buckhead Business Radio. We're very excited. We have a couple of spectacular guests here in the studio. Very interesting. You wouldn't think these businesses would be connected, but wait till you tune in and listen to what we have in store. We are broadcasting live from our beautiful Peachtree Offices studio in Buckhead with this amazing view. And again, it's radio. I don't know why I always just get excited about our million-dollar view here. But so meanwhile, we have a couple of guests here joining us in the studio. We're going to be chatting a little bit later in the show with Deetra Giles. Welcome to the show. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
And I get your name right? I've been practicing it all morning in the green room. And yeah.
Perfect.
Nice. So I'm sure you get a lot of other pronunciations of a first and last name. So and tell us who you're with. You're with ExecuPrep?
I am. I'm with ExecuPrep Consulting Firm.
Okay. And so HR business, right?
Actually, a performance management consulting firm focusing on HR consulting, yes.
Well, I was going to say that, yeah. You said it much better, yeah. So we'll be chatting with you a little bit later in the show. And so tell us your elevator pitch, if you will. Like someone says, meet you at an event. So what do you do?
I do consulting for small to mid-sized businesses, helping them focus on their culture and growth.
And you've been doing that since a small child or what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Since the lemonade stand on the corner.
Right. Hey, do you have any siblings? Or
I am an only child, thankfully.
Yeah. Because I was thinking that'd be probably perfect as a child. You could be managing your kids, probably the neighborhood kids and all of your enterprises. Well, welcome to the show. We're going to be excited to be chatting with you a little bit later in the show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. So, our first guest up, Paul McKeon, is joining us in the studio. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Unbelievable. How are you?
Great.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of that, I've been starting a new thing for 2015 to open with a quote. And I got a little sidetracked to excitement for the show here. So today's quote is from Mark Twain. He says, "And the difference between the almost right word and the right word is really a large matter. It's the difference between the lightning bug and lightning." So anyway, it's like, thank you, Samuel Clemens, for that. All right. So meanwhile, Paul, thanks for being on the show this morning. And you have an interesting business. We've been following each other for a while about your business. And it's the food truck movement, or the food movement, right?
That's right. The food movement. That's
Yeah. Yep. But there's trucks involved.
There are food trucks involved.
At least in half your business, right? Yeah. All right. And Paige actually introduced us, and she's just observing in the studio. You're in charge of social media this morning for the show, all right? So I just gave her a new title. So tell us, let me just a quick introduction for our, speaking of words and introductions for our listeners. You're a partner at the Food Movement Culinary Event Company. You help manage one of the largest food truck commissaries in Atlanta, 12 food trucks. Right here in Atlanta, you go to events all over the city, right? Rallies, festivals, weddings, bat mitzvahs.
Correct.
All right. And I mean, this is just one of the hottest things in probably the last at least 5 years or more with the Food Network, all of the excitement. We were talking about movies beforehand. I saw The Chef a while back. I mean, that's just like, did you guys put up money for that to come to the theater? I mean, that's just perfect for your industry, right?
It sure looks like it, doesn't it, Rich? But no, I wish we had, though, because I think it did quite well. So, yeah.
And obviously, we talk about food and all the excitement for food trucks, but what's interesting is we're going to talk about team building element as a big part of your business. And to me, for business listeners, very intriguing. So you've hosted over 200 companies from Coke to Home Depot, Apple, Deloitte, Aflac. First of all, talk to us about a food truck commissary. What does that entail?
Well, that's a good question. We're a culinary event company, yeah. Rich. And the big part of that is we are a food truck commissary. So that is a management structure to manage individual food trucks. So the food trucks that work in our company are owned individually. They're right. Individual businesses. But we provide supervisory chefs, a large kitchen, wastewater dumps, charging stations, security. Think of it as a depot or headquarters for food trucks. It's what they do when they're not out serving. It's where they come. It's where they cook. It's where they organize their day and so forth. So that's our role as a food truck commissary.
So kind of like their home office for their business on wheels. Yeah, because you think, we're going to probably talk about this, but you think, oh, I can just grab a truck and some wheels and throw some food on board. I'm good to go.
Wish it was that easy. Unfortunately, it's not. Yep.
Maybe way back in the day. Yeah.
Right.
So, so you wouldn't, I mean, what an amazing service for a lot of people, either retired or young entrepreneurs. It's a very exciting venture, but there's a lot of, besides just showing up at the festival, I mean, you provide that, the entire service is kind of like in a box, right?
We provide the infrastructure, and we also provide a lot of marketing services. So we book events, we market the trucks,
wow.
We organize them, and we do all of that. And we sort of look at ourselves a little bit as an incubator,
yeah.
because these are small businesses just getting started. We help build their websites. We find them CPAs. We do all of that to help them succeed, if you will, as a micro business
right.
in Metro Atlanta.
And even some of their web design or their graphics, and you have resources for that, even the wrapping and...
Absolutely. Some of these guys are great chefs,
right,
they're
right.
wonderful cooks,
yeah.
but they're not good business people.
Right,
they don't
right.
know much about it, so we help them in that area.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not sure if you want your CPA out there cooking up.
No, that's right, and exactly.
There's a few exceptions with those guys, yeah. Okay, so what are some of the food trucks you guys manage?
Well, we have Hail Caesar, which is
right.
everything Caesar salad.
Right.
Press for Time, which is paninis.
Okay.
On Top of the World, which is tapas.
Tapas, right.
Bento Bus, which is a Japanese concept.
Okay.
The Fry Guy. Everybody in town knows the Fry Guy. Very popular food truck.
Right.
Masala Fresh, which is Indian. So every
wow.
Food trucks tend to be very niched.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
One truck per concept, if
right,
you
yeah.
will. So that's we have about 12 food trucks in our commissary.
Yeah, yeah. I know I went to an event for... it was hosted by MailChimp, the customer appreciation party, and they had a boatload of trucks out there, and they had the chicken and waffles, and the first time I ever had those. What? Yeah.
We coordinated that.
Oh, really?
We got all those trucks there.
For the MailChimp? Organized
for the MailChimp. It
wow,
was a
okay.
couple years ago,
I didn't know
right?
that. Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah.
Right down here at in the Gulch, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's why we consider ourselves a culinary event company.
Yeah.
Because we bring food to events, and we organize it, and you know, we take care of everything. And you know, the other thing about food trucks, Rich, is people love food trucks because they come in, they're self-contained,
right.
they go away, they don't need your kitchen, there's
right.
no mess, so it's sort of just add water and you've got some great right. gourmet food.
Exactly. Well, that's about all I could do is add water. But yeah, I had no idea, we didn't talk about this beforehand, but with the MailChimp, I've told that story a dozen times. I was invited as a customer at a customer appreciation party. I'm thinking, wait a second, I have a free MailChimp account. How does that work? And they're throwing a party, and the food was way cool, and they had drinks, and it was just a... I don't know. Now that we've promoted them, maybe they owe me money. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They're going to let me continue my free account. Yeah, let's just yeah. keep with that. Yeah. Okay. So now those names. I mean, they're so clever. Who's is there alcohol involved in coming up with those names, or what's the creative juice there involved?
Usually some mind altering substances. Let's
right,
put it that
right,
way.
Exactly. Yeah. A little adult beverage doesn't
right,
help. A little some
right.
libations. Yeah. So, but I mean, those just. Are you guys involved in that, or the chef? Do they usually come with an idea or brainstorm? Or
we've named a few of them.
Oh yeah.
So Press for Time and Hail
yeah.
Caesar. We've
yeah.
named
Hail
those.
Caesar.
The other ones are come out of everywhere. So
sure, yeah.
it just depends. But that's part of the marketing and the sort of eclectic fun
oh, yeah.
fun nature of food trucks. I mean, it's a party on wheels. People
right, yeah.
love it, and it's fun. One of the things that I'm constantly amazed by is you'll go through by a food truck event and you'll see a long line.
Right.
But there's lots of smiles and laughs,
oh,
and
yeah.
if you were at a long line at the airport or a rental car, you'd be mad. But at a food truck, it's happiness.
You guys need to send the food trucks to the DMV office. There you go, yeah. All right, so I'm not sure what type of food they would be serving. But so meanwhile, what's the most surprising thing you found about the business, you know, that the average person wouldn't think about? What's your biggest, you know, challenge or misconception or...
Biggest challenge, Rich, is the sort of shifting regulatory
yeah.
oversight environment. It's difficult. It's different by county. So Fulton has a different set of requirements than DeKalb, and on. So we're constantly dealing with some of that. It's a challenge. We sort of play through, if you will, but. That's an impediment that a lot of businesses don't have. You understand why food service needs to be regulated to be
right,
safe
yeah, for
and all
health,
that. It's
yeah.
important.
Right.
But at the same time, one of my analogies is the food trucks are a little like Uber is right now.
Right.
It's a new thing. People love it. It's sort of deconstructing the market.
Right.
But the authorities are struggling with how to deal with it, right? And so
yep.
so that's sort of been the biggest surprise, and it's an ongoing challenge, but we work through it, if you will.
We're listening to Paul McKeon with the Food Movement, and Rich Casanova here with Buckhead Business Radio. And so we're talking food and HR, and wait till we connect those dots, yeah. All right, so speaking of HR, you're another big element of your business. I don't know if you have percentage-wise, but in team building. So how does what's the idea there? Well, first of all, what's the backstory? How did that culinary team building come about?
Well, we first of all, we have a large kitchen. And when we're not using it for food trucks, we sort of deploy it for team building.
Okay.
And my background before I started this as a second career was in marketing and public relations.
All right.
And always did a lot of team building, collaboration, getting people to work together. So we've kind of married, Rich, team building with food. And what we do is if you've ever seen Chopped or Iron Chef, we do a team-oriented Chopped competition.
Okay.
So we'll bring in companies. Coke has been in, Delta's been in, Apple's been in. We divide them up, we start the clock, we throw curveballs at them, and we make them work as a team, if you will, to overcome obstacles and to get to an end goal, which is a great meal and a presentation to the chef. So it's a very interesting business. The nature of team building is to put people in unusual situations, uncomfortable situations, and get them to meet a common goal. And when they're cooking a meal with the clock flashing at them, that's one of those situations.
So hopefully it's not too intense where that you need just plastic knives, whatever it is, so they can use actual real knives.
You asked about surprising. One of the most surprising thing is the food always comes out great.
Right, the team building is kind of can be hit or miss. You don't have any control over that.
Right,
But so what's the structure? If a company shows up, what might they expect? What would that look like as far as, you know, the hours or cost or numbers of people, or what's a typical, if there is a typical event?
It's a good question. The event ranges, it's about 2.5 hour event.
Okay.
The cost is about 1.5 times the cost of a nice dinner out in Buckhead. So
it's
not that expensive. Yeah. And they get a 3-hour team building program, prizes, awards, some tricks, even sabotage if they want. If they want to pay extra, they can have sabotage.
A little mystery dinner theater, whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's a great event.
Yeah.
We've done about 200 of them in the last couple of years, and it's really been a nice part of our business. And with the explosion of food and culinary arts, it's been people love it. Testimonials and the rave reviews are just off the wall.
So chicken and egg question, which came first, the kitchen and the food truck?
Yes, that came
and
first.
And then that was followed. So so when did this start? We didn't talk about, you know, when did you guys first come
up? We started doing the team building about 2 years ago.
Okay. 200 companies in 2 years. Wow.
Yes, we have one tomorrow with 50. We handle groups from 100 to 60 people.
That was my question.
Yeah.
From 100
to, I'm sorry, to 60.
I was doing the math on that one. That's an interesting way. Yeah. Most people say from lower to higher, whatever.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I'm not an accountant. I'm a food service.
Nice.
10 to 60.
Okay,
I'm sorry,
10 to 60.
10 to 60.
Okay.
Right.
So now you mentioned Coke and Aflac, but now what about, so are these companies teamed against each other and they don't know each other, or is it internal, always internal, or
it's usually one company, but it's groups that work together,
departments that may not be communicating.
Exactly. They may be in different offices, they may be working out of their homes, and they're just trying to get more familiar with themselves, build trust, and collaborate so that they do a better job when they go back to the plant or back to the office. That's the benefit of it, if you will.
And we're going to mention for our listeners how to get in touch at the end of your segment, but we got lots more questions. So if somebody's sitting on the edge of their seat, like, Paul, okay, how do I find out about the food trucks because I want to start a food truck, or how do I get involved in the team building exercise? What's the best way for them, for listeners, to find out about that?
Well, my email is pmckeon, P-M-C-K-E-O-N, at foodmovement.com.
Okay.
We're on the web at www.food-movement.com.
Okay.
And I'm McKeon Paul on Twitter, and they can Google me, and I'm out there.
Cool. So. And we've been tweeting live on the air, so you can check that out as well. And all this information will be posted on the site for the brief broadcast as well. But so meanwhile, so back to the team building. So these are different departments. What's a typical scenario? Why would they kind of raise their hand and say, we need a team building exercise, especially from your background in, you know, PR and in management?
A couple things. Sometimes there's a merger or an acquisition.
Right.
Frequently, we'll have a professional services firm like an accounting or an advertising agency bring their clients in where they want a bond. That's been very good. And then very often it's piled onto a larger event. There's a sales meeting or a company meeting. They're tired of just going out to dinner and doing this. So they want an interesting event.
Yeah.
And so team building makes business sense. It's a nice evening. It's fun.
Right.
But they get some benefit. It's not just sitting at the hotel bar.
And you got to eat anyway,
Got to eat anyway.
So not to get into too much of the minutiae here, but so how do they determine the menu, or the do they, when they book online, or they contact your office and decide the type of...
We have six menus.
Okay.
So we have a bistro menu with a butterflied Cornish game hen and wild mushroom risotto. We have a south of the border with empanadas and fish tacos.
We have
some great food. We have a modern steakhouse menu.
Oh, wow.
The food is great.
I'm getting hungry already.
Exactly. So, and we even do brunch and lunch.
Really? So, that was the next question, because I'm thinking like dinner after hours, weekends. Is it pretty much almost any time that they want to book it, but also on availability for you?
It's on availability, but most of it is in the evening.
Sure, yeah.
And some at lunch, and we have done
some
brunches.
What about weekends?
Yes, but mostly business type thing. We do have had some church groups, some tennis clubs, things like that, where people just want to have a good time.
Well, that's what, you know, I know we got some other questions to get to, but that was another thought. What about like meetup groups or just organizations, just folks that are looking for something different?
We've done a fair amount with a group here in town, Events and Adventures, which
is
a singles group. They've hosted five or six events at our place. We've talked to Match.com about it. So that makes perfect sense, and maybe sort of the next phase that we concentrate on.
Speaking of Uber and these upstarts concepts, I was watching something on I think it was ABC Nightline, and they did a piece on this concept that came from California, where it is kind of like a meetup online platform. Have you heard about this? Feast-a-vee or something like that? And then they you book a party at your house as a kind of wannabe chef. You know, they're typically not, you know, award-winning chefs, but you love the idea of food, cooking. You cook at your home, and you invite these people to your home. They pay a fee, and you cook them dinner or whatever. Yeah.
Great. Crowdsourcing of food, right?
Right, exactly.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Food sourcing, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so meanwhile, team building, is this for people that... want to cook or know how to cook, or what's their experience level typically?
It's all over the place. That's a good question. Frequently, we get people that have an affinity for cooking.
Okay.
So there's another thing in the, there's always a good teach. We're showing them how to butterfly something or poach something. There's a teach in it, but then we have a lot of people that can't boil water, and they're they're fine. They participate. They might stand off and drink, and, but
for that one,
So it just depends. But you don't have to be a good cook. The people that like to cook, we have lots of extra ingredients and chefs there, so they have a good time. But it's not a requirement.
Another thing. What does the staff look like then? How are they involved in that event?
It depends on the size of the group, but we have anywhere from 3 to 6 chefs in the kitchen, looking over their shoulder, making sure they're not burning something or doing something they shouldn't be doing.
So, and speaking of the reality TV shows, what are some of the similarities and differences in y'all's experience?
Well, the Gordon Ramsay show. So if they want to pay extra, we'll yell at them.
Okay, nice, right?
Only kidding.
Right, yeah. Or a little extra, little profanities or whatever. Right.
But we do have a clock, and it's a big one.
Right.
And it counts down. There's a deadline. And one of my questions when I run these things, Rich, is what happens without a deadline?
Nothing.
Okay.
Good,
so just like in business, you have a deadline, right?
Yeah.
So you have a deadline. It focuses your concentration, puts a little pressure, and it helps to move things along. So that's one similarity with the television shows.
And not to give away too much of your secrets or secret sauce here or whatever, but I am intrigued by... obviously, it would be fun experience, the entertainment factor. But what would, if you could give one or two examples, giving out too much of your secret formulas here, but of what would they learn or how do they interact that then teaches them, you know, what the management wants them to experience, or what's a story that you think of a company that came in and said, we had this dilemma and or what was not working at our office? And
well,
takeaways, I guess we
get quite a bit that Dietra is so quiet in the office,
right.
But she really stepped up in the kitchen.
Okay,
I didn't know that about her.
Right.
That's a big surprise. Okay, or I didn't really know how much I could trust and depend upon Joe. There's right. 5 minutes left. We've got a plate. The clock is running down. Right. I gave him this task, and he did it. That's great, you know. And one thing we'll do is we'll pull people out of the time is running, and
right.
we'll say, okay, Rich,
right.
you've got to leave your team. Or we'll say,
what?
We'll say, Rich's team, you've got to volunteer somebody to leave. So we throw a lot of team building.
Oh, they get thrown off the kitchen island.
Yeah. And so we'll do.
Why would you do that?
Well,
don't tell me secrets if you don't want to give them away. But I'm like, dang, I'd be like, I want my refund.
To make them overcome a challenge.
Okay. Yeah.
You got five people on your team.
Right.
Now you have four.
Because
Rich is out for 5 minutes. And
he's the expert water boiler.
He might be. So then we'll say, well, what happened when we pulled Rich off your team? And frequently say, well, we're glad you took the guy out. You know?
Exactly. So, we were going to do that on our own, yeah.
Right.
Like I was watching Celebrity Apprentice last night. They had the guy, a couple of interesting folks on there, yeah. And it is. You always have that disruptive person. You know, Geraldo Rivera's on there now.
Yeah.
And he's just like rubbing everybody the wrong way. And most of the team saying, if we could just put him over in a corner, we'd excel, right?
Right, right. Well, it mirrors business because there's always interruptions and business. It never goes the way you think it should, right?
Right,
you got to work on another file or client, and we try to simulate that in the kitchen, simulate the business experience, if you will.
Okay. And where does the competition come involved? Is it primarily based on the clock, or are there other criteria, and who determines, you know, yeah?
Good question. It's somewhat on the clock. 50% is on taste. The judges taste everything.
Now, who are the judges?
Well, it depends on the event.
Staff.
Usually, there's some of the chefs.
Right.
Okay, and then the other part is the other part is presentation. So, and I don't mean Excel or PowerPoint.
Right. Exactly. Thank you.
They have to plate, and then they have to make a pitch to the judges of about a minute on what they did, why they did it, and why they should win the contest. So
so
that's where the sales and marketing, those guys, we've had rap songs, poetry, music, we've had all sorts of creative pitches.
Especially when you have food and you're drinking, I didn't really follow up on your point of what some of the takeaways, but now I can visually see that experience where we think about maybe conflict or resolution issues in the office or departments not communicating or not even familiar with each other, right? So it also, you know, it creates that bonding experience, but beyond that, it is about where someone in the office or their supervisor, whatever their role, didn't realize that about this person. I didn't know they could, you know, act under that pressure. I've never really given them those responsibilities because I felt like for one reason or another, I didn't feel they could step up.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then the boss, if you will, sees you in a different light. Right.
Right? And you can always tell a good group. It's when the boss doesn't assume a sort of a hierarchical role.
Yeah, everybody's wearing the same apron, right?
Exactly. And those groups, Deidre could comment on, tend to have the best cultures and the best teamwork in the office as well.
Yeah, that's, you kind of hit on a culinary culture, right?
Right.
I mean, that's,
right.
Yeah. And so, well, what else do we need to know? We talked about cost and, you know, making reservations from 10 to 60 folks at a time. What about the, go back to the food truck. So if I want to just raise my hand, I want to start a food truck, what's on the short list of things you guys would help out with?
Well, we can, frequently people already have their truck, but we could help you find a truck if you wanted to. A big part of the food trucks is wrapping the truck, if you will, with the design and the artwork. We can help there. And, you know, usually they have a view of what they want to make, their menu. They have they come from a culinary background, but we could help in any or all of those aspects, Rich.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, just looking at your website for the trucks you have here, Philly Connection.
Yep.
T-State, we had those guys in his studio a while back, yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Roy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So we had him in here, and So any up and coming, any new ones on the for 2015, or just besides food truck, any big picture stuff for expansion or for team building as well as trucks or road trips? Do you ever? What's the furthest gig you've ever done?
We've been to Greenville,
really?
And Savannah, and wow. Are you familiar with Bonnaroo?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
the big concert
right, exactly,
in
yeah.
Tennessee. We've been asked several times to go to that. We might do that this summer.
Okay.
It's a captive
audience.
Paige
is raising her hand over here. Yeah.
Well, Paige, if you'd like to sleep in a sleep in a tent and get rained on for 3 days,
you need to watch The Chef, the movie, the first one. Yeah. Right, yeah. Right, that was right. Talk about a road trip in a truck. Yeah.
Right. Right. So the food truck business continues to grow slowly and steadily.
Yeah,
more
yeah.
events. It's not so. We've done, like you said, weddings, bar mitzvahs, bachelor parties, so that's steady. And the other business we've branded, by the way, as it's Team Building with Taste is the name of it. And we're looking and talking to groups about putting that in other cities. So we've had conversations about Chicago, Northern Virginia, and possibly Orlando. So that's big on our is to maybe get that into some other cities this year.
And so you're talking about expanding the commissary concept. Potentially or down the road?
The team building concept. The food. The food trucks is very localized, very specialized.
Yeah, true.
It doesn't, frankly, it doesn't scale.
Right, right.
But
right.
the team building would. And
That's what Mr. Wonderful would say if you brought this idea of the food truck to to the Shark Tank, whatever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
It's not scalable. But he would probably love the team building and Cuban and all those guys,
And maybe we'll do that this year. Who knows?
Nice. Last thing I was just looking at, spotted on your website, is you were recently, the Food Network magazine, September issue, named two of your food trucks as having America's funniest food truck names.
That's right.
Right.
On Top of the World, Tapas, and Press for Time, Paninis. That's
nice,
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's an exciting and clever business. So tell our listeners one more time, what's the best way for them to reach out and find out about both your ventures there?
P. McKeon at food-movement.com or www.food-movement.com.
Okay. Well, Paul, it was a pleasure having you in here, and now I'm just anxious for lunch, and I'm thinking, where am I going to go for lunch?
I've got an idea or two for you, Rich.
Exactly. Nice. Well, stick around. We may open up the conversation here in a moment here for some additional exchange of ideas and conversation. But joining us now on the show, back on the air, is Dietra Giles. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So pretty cool stuff, right? Are you getting hungry too, or was it just me?
Absolutely. I'm thinking we should break now for lunch.
I know exactly. Yeah, let's a little break, yeah. So let's talk about a little bit of your background and your business. We kind of mentioned earlier is so you're affectionately known as the entrepreneur's HR strategist. You're a keynote speaker, executive coach, national trainer on leadership, organizational development, conflict resolution. There you go, Paul. There's some ideas there. And maybe you guys can team up. We'll talk about that in a moment. But you're a founding partner and chief consultant with ExecuPrep. And it's like you mentioned, it's a performance management focused on HR consulting, training, and executive coaching. So and some of your clients or people you've worked with recently or in the past has been MARTA, the center, the CDC, the EPA, all these great initials, the big guys. All right, the Salvation Army. And what's this about Goldman Sachs?
Actually, I'm an adjunct faculty for the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program. I teach the entrepreneurs, leadership, and organizational development.
Wow. Well, kudos and congratulations on that.
Thank
yeah.
you.
I need to, every time I read somebody's impressive resume like this, I need to update mine, whatever. We kind of borrow some of your acronyms in here, or
Take them. You're welcome to them.
All right. So before we get into your business, tell us a little bit about yourself, originally from the area here, or what's your backstory?
Actually, I'm originally from Miami, Florida.
Oh, okay. I was born in Miami.
Hey
now.
moved to Savannah, Georgia to go to high school and came to Macon at Mercer University. Yay, Mercer Bears.
Right, yeah.
And then moved to Atlanta and just never left.
Okay. Wow. Well, and so before you started this big venture into entrepreneurial HR, what's your background prior to that or experience or?
It's actually in human resources. Prior to ExecuPrep, my company, I was director of HR over at Emory University. And then prior to that at Georgia State University, worked at State Farm, insurance companies, Allied Automotive, and really got my feet wet in really what HR was from a strategic perspective.
Okay. And so talk to us about this new, well, when did you start this venture, I guess?
ExecuPrep has been around since about 2007.
Oh, okay. So it's not brand new. You're not a startup, whatever. Yeah.
I still consider myself a startup.
Exactly,
but yes.
Well, at least you're past the pre-revenue stage, right? Yeah. Okay. So so talk to us about the idea here, the concept behind Entrepreneurs HR Strategist.
Well, the biggest thing is that entrepreneurs, when they start their business, it's really small. It's typically a mom and pop.
Right.
And as they grow, they start to realize, hey, these people in my company matter just as much as my product or service. And a lot of them have no clue what to do with that. They don't realize that they may be hiring the wrong people. They haven't established a strong culture. And even Tony Hsieh talks about it. Tony Hsieh of Zappos talks about how important your culture is to your company. And they realize, wait a minute, I've messed this all up. What do I do?
Right.
And I help them figure that out.
Okay, so you come in and fix it.
Oh, yeah, I'm a fix it person.
Nice. Yeah. HRfixit, yeah, .com.
Yes.
Yeah. that's interesting because we talk a lot about culture, and there's just certain brands that you just immediately go to and associate with just an amazing culture and mission statement and beyond themselves, their project or their widget. But and a lot of times we talked about how important the customer is. There's so much conversation about customer first and the customer's always right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but just from my perspective, I think you would agree. But a lot of times people put all the focus on the customer, which, you know, that does drive your business sales. But if your employees are not happy, right?
Absolutely.
If they're not excited, if you're not treating them right, it's not just a ripple effect. That's the first connection they have is with your clients.
Absolutely.
So it's almost like employees first. I mean, it's right?
Absolutely.
Yes or yes?
Yes. Yes and yes. The problem is, yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. Yes and yes. And the problem with culture is what you mentioned before. Culture is what people pay for. It's the difference between the Ritz-Carlton and the Red Roof Inn.
Okay.
People
wow.
are,
nice.
It's a bed. It's a floor, it's a shower, and a TV. But they will pay $600 for the culture of the Ritz-Carlton. And the question is your culture one that you're willing to pay for? Are your clients paying for the culture that you're giving? And that happens with your employees. The cost of turnover is 2.5 times a person's salary. A mid to small size business can't afford that.
Wow. Did you know we had the Ritz-Carlton in here or whatever?
I did not.
We've had him in here twice. One time we had the vice president of global PR for the Ritz-Carlton brand. She sat right here in the studio. She flew in from D.C., but she covers global. She travels all over the world. But we had the folks in from Ritz-Carlton Atlanta, the Reynolds Plantation, and then, of course, right here in Buckhead.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's just, I mean, what a great analogy from Red Roof to Ritz-Carlton. I mean, very well said and spoken. It's a room with, you know, walls and a door. But what a difference people would pay for the experience, right?
And that's what I teach the entrepreneurs. Is your culture worth what you're asking your customer to pay? And that's your employees. You're so right. It starts with your employees.
Yeah, and their phrase they repeated throughout the show was they don't call their staff employees or staff or workers. It's ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Every morning they're greeted by ladies and gentlemen of Ritz-Carlton. And it just you kind of feel the difference of that's the way you're treated. And when you walk in there as a paying customer, it's a game changer. Yeah. All right. So talked about culture and vision. How many businesses don't really connect those dots? I mean, do you find that prevalent or you're just nodding your head and rolling your eyes? I guess that's...
I find that it's amazing. And the most difficult ones are those that have been successful as small businesses because they feel like I've been successful to this point. I have one client and this year that person will hit probably about $22
million. Wow.
It's difficult to step in and say, hey, you're doing some stuff
right,
wrong because
yeah.
they're looking at me like, when was the last time you made $22
million? Yeah, right.
But they're stuck at $22 million. We can get to 30.
Right, yeah.
If you change these small things, and that's what I help them do. I help them get to 30.
And that's a great point, too, because a lot of times it's a tree in the forest kind of scenario,
mm-hmm.
right? You're so, and there's ego involved. I mean, that's a very challenging part of your business, right?
Very.
But if they're bringing you in, they need to listen to your advice.
And that's the difficult part, making sure that they're ready. And I'm that entrepreneur, I'm that small business owner that will turn clients away. And I will say, you know what, you're not ready for this, especially family businesses. I've had to advise one family business, you might have to fire your mom. And that's
right.
a hard conversation. You know,
yeah.
you're making
yeah.
this money and she can't be your accountant anymore.
You're
going to jail.
Yeah, yeah.
And orange
yeah.
is not the new black.
Right, exactly. I just saw that recently, yeah. Yeah, and you'd send them over to the kitchen and have the chefs fire their mom, whatever. Yeah. So, how, you know, we talk about HR, and that's But how are you different from, I guess, every other HR firm out there? I mean, there's a lot of people in that fishbowl. Yeah.
Absolutely. The good thing, the interesting thing about me is I'm not the typical HR person. Right. For example, I have my MBA with a concentration organization development, and I also have a green belt in Lean Six Sigma.
Whoa.
So I look at these things from a very strategic operations and bottom line perspective. At the end of the day, this is about your company growing and making money. How do we do that with your most valuable resources, which are your people?
Right, right. You have a white belt in radio. I don't know if that means anything. I'll play this. So what are some of the crazy things you've seen, you know, consulting with some small businesses? I mean, you could write a book or a reality TV show about it, right?
I have written a book. But some of the craziest things I've seen are things that actually aren't funny. They're detrimental to the company. Yeah. One of the biggest things I see is small businesses or mid-sized businesses hiring people as 1099 contractors when they actually should be W-2 employees. And that's a huge problem for them, especially as it relates to taxes, paying into unemployment, and they can get hit hard. Some of them with fines that will basically diminish
their business. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And they're doing it all wrong.
So when is a 1099 appropriate? When is maybe it appropriate to outsource and or through a staffing company as opposed to on board W-2?
So those are like three different questions.
Thank you. Yeah.
So let's start with the temp service or the outsourcing.
Okay, yeah.
It's great when you know that that's going to be a temporary assignment and it's more economical for you to hire a temp firm than to hire your own people. Most temp firms charge about 28 to 35% of the person's salary.
Right.
So that's going to be an extra cost to you, but sometimes it's worth it. This is a two-week assignment. Hire a temp firm.
Or you kind of want to just gauge and judge, or you just have a project, right?
Absolutely.
Or you don't want to be committed for those non-committal type people, right?
Absolutely. And then 1099 is perfect. For example, in my business, I have 1099s. I have right. people that will go out and do training sessions. Well, this is a one-time training session. Yeah. You write the stuff. It's all you. You get to make decisions about how you do it, when you do it, where you do it.
Right.
You're not my employee.
Right.
Now, when you get to W-2s, if I tell you how to do
exactly.
it, when to do it, where to do it, you're an employee. And I have to pay unemployment right. and all the health care insurances and all of those things that come with an employee.
Yeah, because a lot of people think, 1099, and then you're just clear and free. But yeah, if you do tell them, because I had a business in California, and we kind of learned that the hard way, is that everybody was 1099, but then they said, you know, sometime later down the road, rut-row, you've been telling them where to go, what time to, and a specific task. You're not just saying, get this done.
And even location. And what the problem is, people think of the little things like, oh, you know, unemployment. But no, you owe those people anything you would have put in retirement, any health insurances you would have paid, workers' comp, all that stuff you owe. And for a small business, one person for, say, 3 years, that's a lot of money.
And to me, that's where it seems for a startup or a small business. I mean, again, correct me if I'm wrong. I guess it all, you know, the general answer, it always comes down to it depends, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but just in general, big picture kind of stuff is that I'm thinking that for a small business, in that case, it's maybe better to reach out to a temp service, right? Because then they cover all of that, right? Are you completely off the table with that, right?
Well, it depends. I look at them.
See, there's the answer.
It depends, right? Because what's your long-term goal? Because ultimately, temp agencies can be expensive.
Right, yeah.
So you want to look at how does that fit your bottom line and strategically where are you going with this type of or this person as an employee. But
right.
it probably is a good place to start, especially for small businesses.
Yeah, especially for, like, in, you know, one or two person operator, mm-hmm. small business or startup. And then they can kind of gauge the waters and see what's the expectation of an employee. And then they can potentially then hire the person if it works
absolutely.
Out, right?
Yeah, yeah. But what I tell my clients is you need to communicate early and often. That's something, and no matter who they are, even if they are your employee, a temp employee, because most of the problems we have is because people manage with the I hope philosophy. I hope they know they should be on time.
Right.
I hope they know that document was late. And I hope may have been a great campaign slogan, but it's a horrible management strategy.
Yeah, it does come down to expectations, and if it's not made clear right up front. So what's a typical, what are some typical, not day in the life, but how would you, what are some interactions you have with your clients? Do you go, you know, on site? Do you work one-on-one with the owner? Do you do seminars or coach, you know, the staff? Or do they outsource HR needs to you?
Yes, yes, yes.
I knew you could say that.
I do all of the above. I start off with the owner, though, because my ultimate goal is to be strategic. HR is a part of your company. And if you're going to move forward, you have to be able to effectively lead your human resources. So I start with the owner and we do assessments. We're on site assessing what their needs are and we give them their own tailored strategy.
Okay. So again, are there some cases with some clients that you are their HR department?
Yes, I have people that will work with me, and typically I don't remain their HR department. It's almost like a temp firm.
Right.
They'll outsource it for me while I help them build their own internal HR department to meet their needs.
Okay. And then in some other cases, do you go in and coach or work with the HR director on site with their firm?
Absolutely. I even go in and help them develop leadership programs. One of the biggest things, we talked about it earlier, is there is this huge talent gap. And there is leaders, like, for example, I tell people, managers do stuff and leaders do people. And so I teach them how to develop leaders for the next generation of their business.
All right. And so we're speaking with Dietra Giles and with ExecuPrep. So how would our listeners get in touch with you?
They can reach me at, they can first of all go to the website at www.execuprep, that's ExecuPrep.com. I am Dietra Giles on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And
nice.
They can also email me at DuGiles@execuprep.com.
Okay, awesome. And so what are some examples, you know, misconceptions, I guess, when somebody goes to your website and misunderstanding your services, or they call you and you're like, no, we don't do that, or right?
The biggest misconception is that all HR is hiring and firing.
Okay.
Everyone calls me and says,
can
you get me a job and can you help me fire this person? And I really have to back them up and say, you know, exactly what you need. Even when they call and say, can you help me hire someone? My first question is, do you really need to hire someone? I was talking today about a client that came in and said, I need to hire a CPA. And I thought, no, you just need to go out and find a CPA to do this work, but you'll have this employee later on that you don't need.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the biggest thing is, okay, you're just going to help me hire and fire people.
Right. And what do you most enjoy about your job, your position? Yeah.
I enjoy seeing the results when I can have a company come back to me and say, you know what, last year, because of what you did, you saved us $100,000.
Right.
I love it. When I see them hire someone, every time I see the unemployment numbers go down,
right.
I'm like, that was me.
Exactly. Nice. Take credit for that. Yeah. Nice. Just locally, globally, or across
absolutely.
The country?
I'm like, that was me. Yeah. So, yes, I love seeing the results.
So, speaking of a couple of follow-up or remaining questions here is, so speaking of reach, are you hyper-local? What's your concentration in your market in terms of geography here?
That's funny. I'm actually growing my Atlanta market.
Okay.
But right now, I am all over the U.S. and even have clients in Guam, which is not the continental U.S., So I am all over. I travel. The people at Hartsfield know me by face. Like, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. So, yes.
Yeah. So, and what's on the horizon for 2015? Are there any new industries speaking of industries, I imagine, again, it depends where it's from A to Z, but what are you, some of your favorites, or what are your typical, do you have like specialty sectors that come to mind?
Actually, we're really going to fill up the mid-sized business space, really get into those clients that really need the help that we offer. One of the things that we're working on now is we're developing a leadership curriculum for businesses to pull throughout their organizations, locally and internationally. So that's a huge thing that's on our horizon.
Yeah. And so how do you define a mid-sized business? Because we hear this term a lot, small business.
I know.
Yeah.
So when we think about mid-sized businesses, we're looking at people between, I would say, 50, which is a large gap, 50 to 200 employees.
Okay.
And they are over that $10 million mark.
Okay.
Yeah, they're at that mark.
And I don't know if it's just a recent phenomenon, but I think with all the tech boom, a lot of times you hear where these companies are doing in the millions of dollars and they only have a handful of people working.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you typically think if you're doing millions of dollars, you're the AT&T and you have,
no.
20, 30,000 people on payroll, right?
No.
So it's almost kind of like it catches you off guard. So it can be a large company, that like a Target Corporation, whatever, mm-hmm. right? But it can be somebody here in Atlanta Tech Village that, is doing some crazy numbers.
Absolutely. My client who I talked about that was hitting that 22, 26 million has actually most of the people are contractors, right. but only has 5 employees.
Oh, come on.
Only 5 employees. But you'll be amazed. One person.
Well, they could hire me then. I'll be number 6. Yeah. I have no idea what they do. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on the industry, right, one contract could be $5 million.
Right. Yeah.
And all you need is 4 of those.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's amazing what the numbers really don't tell the story.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So finally, and maybe we'll open up for some conversation, discussion amongst our guests here, but is there any kind of, not say niche, but what types of industries do you seem to spend most of your time with, I guess, yeah?
You know what? What's been interesting for me is lately I've been in the construction and engineering market. So I have about 3 clients in construction, some in waste management. So it's been amazing that I've been attracted to that. How did that happen?
Right, who knows?
I don't know. But I guess people talk. And if you're in that industry, you say, she helped me out. She was wonderful. You need to call her. So that's really been where I've been lately.
Nice. Well, that's how it works. And so one more time, tell our listeners the best way to reach out and get in touch with you.
You can reach me at www.execuprep.com or D-U Giles, that's G-I-L-E-S, at execuprep.com.
Awesome. Well, pleasure having you here in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Learning about what your business and what's going on. So I don't know if Paul or y'all have any questions here or thoughts.
Well, we'd love to have your Rolodex.
Right, yeah, let's start there or whatever, yeah.
Well, I would love to talk to you because one of the things that Paul said that I loved was that they do the simulation. And so my thing that I do is take them from the next step, from the simulation to the reality. Okay, what you learned there, what's the next step for you? What happens when you get back and what's the strategy for implementing those little key nugget learnings that you got while you were in the kitchen? Because that's important. But what he does, that's awesome.
Yeah, right. No, there's a lot of similarities. You talked a lot about culture.
Mm-hmm.
Deidre, we big believers in culture and like to hope that we contribute in some small way to a positive culture. So,
Absolutely. So
we should probably talk a little bit. And then we get a lot of inquiries from HR people at companies looking for team building or activities. So there is a lot in common. So congratulations on all your success.
Same to you. I'm coming to the kitchen.
I'm telling you. And you're not talking just culture like in the yogurt for dessert or anything, right?
Yeah. Yeast.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. See, I'm the chief boil water boiler. Yeah, I have no idea. Speaking of HR, are you members or familiar with, there's HR organizations and networking events and entities, whatever, right?
I am a member of SHRM National and SHRM Atlanta, and as well as CUPA, which is the Colleges and University Professionals in Human Resources.
Right, yeah.
So yes, I am a member of those organizations.
Yeah, there's a gold mine there, right?
Absolutely.
Paul. Yeah.
And the National Association of African American Human Resources Professionals as well. So NAAA HR is what it's called. So yes, absolutely.
And I just think like how interesting is it that if you're working with a client, they're having some challenges with their employees and their staff, or they're at kind of that tipping point, right? Like you talked about one of your first clients that they're trying to get to the next level, right? And there's a bit of a roadblock. And so, I mean, you put them in that type of environment in the commissary and experience that. There's some interesting stuff could come out of that, yeah. Besides just great recipes, yeah.
Absolutely.
And great recipes are good, too, now. Let's not discount those.
Right. Recipe for success, not to
Nice.
There you go,
nice.
Paul.
Honey.
Speaking of recipes, I mean, so you have these go-to menus, right? But at the event, what's the creative boundaries? You can't just go wild crazy, but...
We usually have an optional pantry of about... 80 other items. So it might include odd things like dragon fruit and
Making stuff up now, aren't you?
No,
it's actually pretty good. The farmer's
really
market.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Korean hot peppers and all sorts of things, but then lots of rosemary and fennel and basil and anything you could want. So you can get pretty creative.
Yeah, but for somebody, if they don't know what they're doing, I mean, can they kind of create a culinary disaster?
Yes.
Yes. Anything's possible, right? All right, y'all. Well, it was a pleasure having you in the studio and on the show this morning. It was just very entertaining. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Rich Casanova here for Buckhead Business Radio X. And we'll see you this time next week.